For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Good evening. Welcome to Believe in Grizzlies. Today I have Sean Coleman. He's a writer at Grizzly Bear Blues, and Sean is one of the nicest people I know, and he is really a stats guy. He's really a nerd. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. He's a nerd, and I love that. How you doing, Sean?
Hey, I'll be the first to say I am as nerdy as they come, but I'm comfortable in that space. Sharon, it's a pleasure to be with you again. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, so let's talk about the game last night. Wow. So what are your thoughts on the game last night? For me, I knew going in it was going to be a tough out for them. I didn't figure that they were going to blow them out, but I didn't know that they was going to get like a 19-point lead. And then, like, both teams, you know, they had double-digit leads that they lost. But I knew, you know, like, the Twin Towers of Jaren Jackson Jr., Steven Adams, and the Twin Towers with, I can't think of the guy's name, with the Cleveland Cavaliers. I know their name, but I can't think of them right now.
Yeah, Evan Mobley and Jared Allen, yep.
Yes, I knew it was going to be just like Jaren was just going to have his way in the paint with them. And I knew like the rebounding probably would be a little iffy or whatever. And, Garland, he's really good. And then like, man, I know they're a good team, but when Donovan Mitchell, you know, when he's healthy, man, they're just going to be trouble in the East.
Oh, 100%. And the thing that kind of, you know, struck me last night is, you know, it was a battle against two, you know, teams I consider to be contenders, you know, especially when Cleveland gets Donovan Mitchell back. But the thing that stuck out to me last night a bit, Sharon, was that it went a bit off script, right?
Like
these two teams were the top two rated defenses in the NBA going into last night's game. The Grizzlies had won 11 straight, defending the three better than anyone in the league, and Cleveland was a top five defense guarding two-pointers, guarding the paint. Well,
right.
Cleveland shot 45% from three. The Grizzlies had their way inside, so it went off script. And how did the Grizzlies respond? They responded by winning in a vintage, new generation way. You know, leading up to this year, they won so many games last year and previously, having more possessions than the other team, offensive rebounding points in the paint. That's exactly what they did last night. 15 more shot attempts, 26 points off 19 turnovers, the advantage on offensive rebounds, advantage in the paint. So what really stood out to me last night, Sharon, is that Cleveland was able to find success against what we had been doing to win games. But when they found success, we were able to go back to our old way of doing things and be able to do it. It just once again showed that as this team continues to mature, it has a trait about itself in which it can win in different ways against quality competition. That's how you survive and thrive in the playoffs. Great win last night.
And then like when you say off script, it's just like that's when And that's the thing for me, because like with basketball, anything can happen, because like I'm not the one to go in and say, well, the Grizzlies, they should beat this team, beat that team, beat that team. Sometimes things don't always go as planned. And we have to realize these are NBA players. Anything can happen. And then when people talking about what the Grizzlies need to do as far as the playoffs concerned, I don't think that we are there yet. I know people like to discuss it, but we really don't know what's going to happen in a playoff series until it actually happens. We think we know. I think we be trying to predict the future, and then it's just like we can't go off of what happened last year, because these are totally different teams. The Grizzlies got a totally different team, and then the West is different. We just don't know what's going to happen. And I think people saying, you know, like, well, we should trade for this guy, that guy, and that guy. To me, I'm just like, I'm the one that wants to wait and see until things actually happen.
Absolutely. And you know, we talk about the fact that, you know, we know this Grizzlies team can win. You know, a number that I throw out, my favorite number when it comes to the Grizzlies is 35%. Since last year, when the Grizzlies shoot 35% or better from three, they've done it 60 times since the start of last season. They win 90% of the time when they shoot 35% from or better from three. I bring that up because if the Grizzlies do that, then all the other things they do well, play excellent defense, get more possessions, out-rebound the opponent, all those things are advantages for the Grizzlies. And then when they're shooting the three with their opponent, the opponent has very little advantage to be able to win the game. And so the Grizzlies have done that against less than their level of opponents over the past 11 games for the most part. Let's see what they can do in this last stretch in January. When you say that the Grizzlies aren't there yet, I do feel they are a more valid contender right now than they were this time last year. Mm-hmm. But I still want to see this level of defense. I want to see us find some success from three. I want to see us continue to figure out ways to win games against quality competition before I truly say we're one of the top three or four contenders in the league.
Okay, and then for me, I always see, like, with the Grizzlies, like, we know, like, Ja's going to do this and that. But last night, we had unlikely heroes in Steven Adams with the putback and Dylan Brooks with the defensive block. And I think that's good for the guys, Dylan and Steven Adams, and for the others to know that we really don't have to depend on Ja to do everything. Because sometimes it seems like they wait on Ja to do everything. When they work together as a complete unit, they just are hard to beat. So what are your thoughts on that?
Oh, absolutely. And you're right. That is another point that you see maturing. You know, 2 years ago, that's something that we would see. Last year, Ja Morant went on the best scoring stretch that the Grizzlies has ever had in his career, and that's what helped the Grizzlies win a lot of their games. This year, it's the collective unit. It's the defense being at the championship level. It's others stepping up when we need them to. Desmond Bane taking over the scoring responsibility. Jaren Jackson Jr. taking over, you know, dominating the game defensively. But you hit the nail on the head. The other thing that stands out about this year's squad, Sharon, is that people truly know and embrace what their role is. And that's what happens when you have a fully healthy roster. Dylan Brooks, Steven Adams, ho-hum, doing their jobs last night. They didn't need to be in the spotlight because they know that when that spotlight shines on them, they're going to be in the right place at the right time to make the difference. Adams did it with the tip shot. Dylan Brooks was able to do it with the block. So on a night where our big three starred, it was great to see our fourth and fifth best player really be able to make a difference. And that's why the Grizzlies, you know, you can make an argument right now the Grizzlies have the best performing starting five in the league.
Right. And, okay, the next question I want to ask you, you know, it seemed like the team's mentality has changed, you know, since they lost that 4 out of 5, including that Christmas game, and then when they came back and they lost to Phoenix. And then that's when, you know, they went on the wrong after that. But it seems like their mentality changed. Every time I hear them after, you know, the games they've won, they're not satisfied. And then they was like, you know, we still got things to work on. And then the one phrase I always hear is one game at a time, one game at a time. And I think that comes with the maturity level of them. And I think after, you know, the Christmas thing, you know, and then like job comments and things of that nature, I think like the coaching staff may have reeled them in. And I don't know if Danny Green talked to them or whatever, but now I'm hearing a collective one game at a time.
Absolutely. And that's something that you've heard for years, right? Slow-mo, Kyle Anderson, who, mm-hmm. you know, definitely, you know, if you don't want to say he's missed on the court, that's fine. But I do, I would be very, very confident in saying that he will be missed for a long period of time in that locker room, even with Danny Green there. And that's nothing negative. But the reason I bring up Kyle Anderson is because that's what he always hit on, even 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Not too high, not too low. Taylor Jenkins talks about it, not too high, not too low, a day at a time. The one thing that I don't think is talked about that much with how young this team is, Sharon, is they are used to winning. We talk about, you know, potentially their youth, you know, even their lack of experience. Mm-hmm. Right now in the NBA, this is one of the more experienced rosters when it comes to winning in recent years. And that means something. And the reason why they've been able to consistently win is because they immediately acted like they've been there before, even though they hadn't. And mm-hmm. that comes from the coaching staff and instilling that type of mentality, the front office, finding the right type of players, being able to maximize on older prospects coming in and doing their jobs, finding guys who would embrace their roles, and obviously veterans, the veterans that we have had, really making an impact. So you're absolutely correct. The mentality of this team is just as important as the talent level. They never get ahead of themselves too much. They always allow for themselves to be in the moment, not get too high, not get too low. And that's why even as they get younger, or they potentially, you know, double down on investing in their philosophy, they remain successful because of how good they are at executing it and knowing that if they trust in it, it's going to maintain success as time goes on.
Okay, so last night, Desmond Bane was asked about the previous 11-game win streak from last year. And he said the difference is, he said, we take it one game by game. Last year, obviously, was our first time doing it. So there was a lot of excitement, but it's a new season. We're trying to set new heights and do new things. The past is the past. We're just focused on one game at a time. So
absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. What are your thoughts on this 5-game road trip? I know it's going to be difficult in Denver, you know, who is number one in the West right now. They got a 5-game road trip. I don't know if it's a road trip, but they got 5 tough games. And for me, I'm just thinking I want them to beat the Lakers on Friday so they can break the winning streak record. And then after that, I don't know, but I don't think that they're going to win all the games. But I don't know. If they do, it's going to be tough. It's not going to be easy. And they're going to work hard because everybody is coming for that streak. You know how, like, when Golden State won all those games and then the Miami Heat, that time the Miami Heat won the games when LeBron was there, people are going to come for that record. They're going to come. They're going to want to tear their heads apart. So what are your thoughts on it?
I want to rewind the clock back 5 weeks, Sharon. And the reason that I mentioned that is because of this. All you need to do is go back to December 15th. Mm-hmm. Okay. On December 15th, the Grizzlies won their 7th game in a row mm-hmm. at home against the number one defense at the time in the NBA. They beat them 142-101 to win their 7th game. Mm-hmm. And then we go on a 4-game win streak, Sharon, and we get thwarted. It's the game that Ja got ejected in, surprisingly, but mm-hmm. we lost to the Thunder, and then we wound up losing 4 out of 5. When you talk about that mentality of the Grizzlies having been there before, mm-hmm. we're talking about them being on an 11-game win streak and now going on a tough road trip. They just did that last month. And last month, they got humbled a bit, losing 4 out of 5, mm-hmm. including the Christmas Day game and the next game against the Suns. The Grizzlies have been there before. They know now not to take it for granted. You talked about Desmond Bane. We've been here. We know how to take it one day at a time. I do think that they'll get the job done tomorrow and win their 12 straight. I don't necessarily feel confident to win all five games on the road. That's just in respect to the other team. But the thing that I'm getting at that you hit the nail of the head, you hit on the head, is that just a month ago, they experienced what being too ahead of themselves felt like. Now, and on even higher stakes, they'll take that, you know, reminder, and I think they'll be perfectly fine. Even if they lose a game, they'll bounce right back against tough competition and get it done. So we saw what happened in a negative sense a month ago. I think they'll remember that, and I think they'll be ready to take it on. I do think they get the franchise record tomorrow night.
Okay, and, let's talk.
Well, and the other thing that I'll say beyond that, I hope they do. So then that's taken care of. It becomes less of a narrative, and we can just focus on basketball again.
Right. So let's talk about three-point defense. You know, before it was pretty bad, So what did you think changed?
Oh, it's pretty simple. Jaren Jackson Jr. being back and Dylan Brooks being available, what that does is both of those players, and I don't know, in general, I don't know if there's a better defensive combo in the NBA right now, but especially when you consider perimeter and post player. But what it does is it just allows for the Grizzlies to have the other three players that are on the court with those guys. It simplifies what they're doing. And they know with confidence that they've got the guy who can back them up on the perimeter, the guy who can back them up on the post. They're going to be able to figure out how to stop the defense. And the other thing that helps out is that people are so concerned with where Jaren is that the ability to find those open three-point shots, the Grizzlies' ability to be able to, you know, adjust to where the ball is moving at a quicker pace with both those guys on the court, it all comes back to having two of the better defenders in the NBA, allowing the other three guys to be able to, you know, better complete their assignment. So I think that has a lot to do with it. One thing that does need to be pointed out, the Grizzlies being the top three-point defense in the NBA over the past 3 weeks, it's been aided by the fact that they've been playing some of the worst three-point shooting teams. But there is a clear difference with this team now versus where it was, in that you have confidence in these guys knowing that they're going to be able to close the gap and limit the overall looks that teams get. It's going to be put to the test over the next five games. Last night left a little bit of concern against a good three-point shooting team. But if the Grizzlies can get at least be league average through the end of January, I think they'll still win more games than they lose to complete the month.
Okay, and, you know, as you was talking, I was thinking about, we're going to get to the Jaren Jackson Jr. Defensive Player of the Year conversation in a little bit. But I was thinking about when they were playing Atlanta. Jaren had them people so scared where they stopped shooting in the paint, you know, because that's the game he got the 8 blocks. I thought he should have had like 10 or more, but, you know, some of them, they didn't count some of them, you know. But that was just like so funny to me that they were really super scared to go into the paint. And then I was thinking about when they played New Orleans, when they had Dylan Brooks mostly on Zion. And then it's just like, then Jaren just came up, you know, he was a help defender. And it's just like, I really love that, you know, so like Jaren, you know, wasn't in foul trouble or anything. But, you know, they have Dylan Brooks to, you know, guard the guys, and then Jaren just come in to help. And I just think that's working for them.
Absolutely. And that game that you were referencing against Atlanta, one of the things that I did not truly appreciate, Sharon, until over the past, you know, few times I've been, you know, to a game this year covering for GBB, you don't see it on TV that often. But in person, you really start to appreciate. The Atlanta game was the best example I've seen to date. You appreciate that it's not just the blocks that Jaren does. It's the hesitation of players in the lane. They're looking for Jaren. It's bouncing it off their foot. It's them not getting the proper footwork to get the shot up. It's them looking over their head to make sure that Jaren's not around. It's the added turnovers, bad looks, just overall misplays, plus his blocks, where he will get 5-6 blocks a game, but there are actually probably 12 to 15 times he truly has deterred a good action towards the basket because he's actually there. And I asked him about that. I asked him, what does he get more pleasure from? You know, getting the block or seeing the reaction that comes from getting the block? And he said it simply, that's what it's all about. Making them know I'm there and just completely, you know, thwarting what they're trying to do. So Jaren knows that that happens. Jaren knows the impact of it's not just the blocks. It's his presence. And that Atlanta game was absolutely wonderful. But that happening every game now is what has that ripple effect literally out on the Grizzlies' defense, which extends out to the three-point line, allows for them to get turnovers. Just it makes everybody's life so much easier to where their assignments are simplified and they can be more effective doing it.
Oh, and I got to shout out Steven Adams. He's been pretty good. He's been blocking shots. He's been doing stuff on offense that he didn't do last year. But I know he said that he, you know, more comfortable this season. And it's just been, you know, wonderful. And I'm glad that he got the game-winning bucket last night. So I was talking to somebody today, and I was like, well, it just seemed like there's a narrative going on in the national media. And people talking about it. Well, Jaren can't get Defensive Player of the Year because he fouls too much. He's not on the floor a lot or whatever. And I asked people, do you watch the Grizzlies game? And to me, these are the same people who said that Ja Morant shouldn't be an MVP conversation because they're mad because the team still win when he's out. Which one do you want? I don't get it. And then I think these are lame excuses not to, you know, put Ja Morant in the MVP conversation, and then to say that Jaren Jackson Jr. shouldn't be the Defensive Player of the Year. I just don't get it.
And there's nothing to get. didn't mean to interrupt, but I'm with you. There's nothing to get. So
you can go ahead and share your thoughts on why you think Jaren should be the Defensive Player of the Year.
What we've been talking about, there just simply is no one who is close. And I want to emphasize this, perspectives, numbers, what have you. Right now, when you talk about Jaren Jackson Jr. being in the running for Defensive Player of the Year, the only reason why Brooke Lopez, Nick Claxton, and others are in the conversation with him is because they've played 300, 400 more minutes on the season and they have more counting statistics. They're all NBA level defenders. I'm not trying to take anything away from them, but I just want to emphasize how impactful Jaren Jackson Jr. has been. If you want to bring up the fouls, waste your time with false narratives. Jaren Jackson Jr. right now is averaging 3 fouls per game. The last 6 defensive players of the year have averaged between 2.6 and 2.8 fouls per game. So that narrative is out the window when you look at who's won over the past couple of years. If you want to talk about games played, 4 of the last 11 Defensive Player of the Year candidates have played 65 or less games in a season. Jaren's likely going to play between 60 and 65 games. Rudy Gobert, 5 years ago, won Defensive Player of the Year playing 56 games. Jaren's overall advanced metrics are significantly higher this year than they were for Gobert that season. So these reasons that people are trying to give out there as to why Jaren is not going to win Defensive Player of the Year, they're excuses because these individuals who say this are going with what happened with Jaren earlier in his career versus what has happened over the past year. But here's the key thing to remember. As time goes on and Jaren plays more games and he starts to get qualified for these numbers, once his games played get up, you won't hear any of this. The people that are in the know, the people that watch the games, follow along, all of them are recognizing and embracing just how historic Jaren Jackson Jr.'s Defensive Player of the Year campaign is. And that's why even with there being a difference in games played right now, you see so many national media and local media saying he's the DPOY.
Right. Yeah, because, you know, it's just excuses. And one guy can tell me, well, per 48 minutes, he, you know, he's playing, he's got like 4 blocks. And I'm like, okay, so how many games have you watched the Grizzlies play? Only caught 2 or 3 of them. But I was like, sometimes, like, when Jaren can go a whole half without getting, you know, getting a foul call. And then sometimes he get the foul calls late. And then they've been blowing people out sometimes where he sit, you know, mostly the fourth quarter. So, and then like they tell us his minutes or whatever. I mean, that should mean he's playing damn good. He still got these numbers. He's not playing so many minutes. It doesn't mean that he's in foul trouble. They have to realize at first, you know, he was on minutes restriction when he coming back from injury. Then second, like I said, blowouts. And then third, the foul. And then, like, I like, because somebody said, well, Jaren had 5 fouls last night. He didn't foul out. He did good. And I said that he had a chance to prove. Because, you know, Jenkins was letting him sit down on that bench. You know, and then the game be essentially over. Like, 1 minute, you know, to go. He trusted Jaren more. And Jaren played through those fouls, and he didn't foul out. He fouled out one time this season. One time. So why are you guys talking about his foul and him being in foul trouble? It's just a lazy narrative, I believe.
Jaren has 85 fouls this season versus 94 blocks. That's the stat that I would bring up. He has more blocks than fouls this season. That should show the impact that he's making. So if you've got individuals who are bringing up his minutes played, if you've got individuals who are bringing up his games played, if you've got individuals that are bringing up his fouls, just consider them to be doubters. That's perfectly fine. In time, the stronger that Jaren gets in putting these games together, they're going to be silenced. I know that you know this, but I love saying this. Because it's Jaren Jackson Jr. that we're talking about. And as much fun as I know you and I have had seeing him embrace his skill set and turn potential into production, Jaren Jackson Jr. is without a doubt the most impactful defender in the NBA right now. And there are numerical film, just overall moments perspectives. There are layers of support that support that. Jaren Jackson Jr. is the most impactful NBA defender right now, and that's why he deserves Defensive Player of the Year.
Okay, and another question I want to ask you about Jaren on offense. It's been pretty good this season. He's not taking as many threes as he has before. He's using his size and, you know, in the paint more. He's shooting like nearly 60% in the paint. But sometimes I just feel like he can do better, but sometimes it's just like when he's on a smaller defender, he don't even touch the ball. And that just makes me so angry sometimes when he's under the basket and they don't give him the ball.
Yes, it can be a bit frustrating. You're absolutely right. It's hard to believe, but Jaren legitimately is shooting 10% better than he did last year. You know, 51.5% compared to 41.5%. The reason why is because he's shooting, you know, 60% on twos this year versus 47.5 last year. Mm-hmm. And I'll eat a bit of humble pie on this. You know, I was someone who truly felt for the Grizz with important as threes are. He needed to be one to get those 5-6 threes mm-hmm. a game. But he is living proof that you've got to prioritize finding the best shot possible over what may seem to be the most valuable shot possible. Mm-hmm. And right. For him, a lot of times, it's absolutely creating those mismatches. So I have been of the outside to inside version where he uses his threes to open up lanes to get to the basket. Now I'm all for him doing what makes the most sense. He's going to get his threes. Opportunities are going to be there. But hey, with this offense, we need as much good shot selection as possible. Jaren doing work with his body now down low. That's about as high percentage of an opportunity you're getting for the Grizzlies right now. Embrace the heck out of it. So absolutely, the ability for him to trust his inside game and let his outside game complement it is the reason why he's back to shooting near where he was as a sophomore, but also at times dominating in the paint on offense. It's wonderful to see.
Okay, now let's get to this. Where were you when the dunk happened? I don't want to ask everybody this because, like, man.
Yes, ma'am. I was at home. I was enjoying it. I didn't anticipate that this was going to happen in Indiana, but I was at home, I was enjoying it, and I was by my wife downstairs. You know, I was watching the game while we were watching something else, and I just absolutely erupted. And she, nothing against her, but she's not the biggest sports fan. But it was just absolutely insane. And she'll every now and then just let me have my moment to sit there and celebrate. That's absolutely what I did. It was incredible. But I was at home enjoying time with my wife. But at that moment, hey, I was able to enjoy Ja just like everybody else.
I was like, oh,
yeah,
and then it was like they was in FedEx Forum. I mean, that's how loud it was up in there.
It feels like it, right? And that's just what's so special about Ja, right? And I know you know this, Sharon, with how much you follow basketball. It's so awesome to have a Grizzlies player who truly has that superstar impact where they're attracting attention in road games by away crowds nearly as much as they are their own home crowd. It's incredible.
Okay, and then, let's get to the All-Star voting. I think that's a bunch of crap. The Ja only have 1 million votes. That's a bunch of crap to me. Yes, you cannot tell me how popular this man is. The Grizzlies selling out opposing arenas. Something wrong. Yeah, I don't know what happened. I don't care. I don't believe them numbers that I see now. He only got 1.9 million votes. Are you kidding me right now? No, sir. Mm-mm.
Seventh or eighth in the West in vote getting. I agree. It's a bit
No. Mm-mm.
But you also could look at it as this. I won't really say this because I guess it's not a compliment, but you don't have the surprise factor that you did last year with Ja being at the level that he is. But I do agree with you, especially with the Ja ones coming out. And, it's amazing. And I'll say this real quickly. It's not just the fact he's different from other talents. Like there may be talents who, maybe better on the basketball court. I think Ja's a top 10 player in the league. But my point is that getting it from a brand perspective, and when it comes to legends, you heard Gary Payton talking about him.
Right.
You have all-time greats like Steph and Kevin talking about him. You don't see players Ja's age getting the love that he gets from his older peers. So that resonates, and I agree with you. To that point, it is pretty amazing to see where the vote's a bit lower than you would anticipate.
Exactly, because they were higher than that last season. I'm like, but I'm, it's just like, the coaches are going to vote Ja in, I believe. So, do you think that Jaren should be in?
I do think that Jaren Jackson Jr. is playing at an all-star level. I think that he's playing at an all-NBA level. Mm-hmm. Do I know if it's going to actually work out with the fact that he missed 15 games?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be hard to. And the reason why that is because, when I say he's not Draymond, he doesn't have that dynasty tag on him that has, gets Draymond in on the voting. And it's still the fact that you have seen some legitimate talents break out this year that deserve to be in the All-Star game, like Lauri Markkanen, Zion, obviously, as well. And with Jaren's overall dominance being on the defensive end, offense sells more than defense when it comes to votes for the All-Star game. He is playing at a level to where he should be considered for the All-Star game. But I just think with where the voting for forwards are right now, it's hard to see him getting in. The one thing, though, that stands out, I do think that he deserves to be in over Bain just because Bain's missed more time. Mm-hmm. If the Grizzlies are top in the West, you typically do see the top team in the conference get at least two in. I think Jaren and Ja both deserve to be on it.
But you know what? I think there's you choose the bench, you choose five, and I think you choose two wild cards. I think one of them may be Jaren, I'm not for sure, because the coaching voting usually be, that's what I think. He might get in through the coaches vote. I know they're going to vote for Ja, but I just don't know about Jaren. And then maybe if some of the players might not be able to play during the game or whatever, maybe he can be a replacement player, but I know sometimes they go by vote. But I'm just hoping that
great point.
He gets in. That'll be really good for him.
Yeah. To your point about the different ways he could get in after the initial voting is there, I think he will be one of the top subs. So I'll be honest, you bringing up that point, that makes me feel a bit better. It's a great point.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it talking to you. We had a good time. Hey, you're gonna have to come on again.
I absolutely, and I'll see if we can get an opportunity through GBB to get you on. Sharon, I know that we haven't been able to do it as much as I would like to, but always a pleasure talking with you. I know that we sat by each other for a couple of playoff games last year. You're an absolute joy, and it was good getting to be able to catch up with you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Okay, all right. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Holla.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.